Hello, everyone. This is Eva Herr, and welcome to the Healing of Agape. Today, I have a man with a brilliant mind, and we're going to discuss consciousness and ways that he thinks that we can change the consciousness of the world. Welcome, George Green, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me, George, what's on your agenda for today?
My agenda right now is to try to awaken people up to their responsibility to change the ending of the story that's being presented to us.
That story of physical reality?
Well, the illusion of what is presented to you in the newspapers, on television, and everything else, and try to get some balance out of this chaos that they're being created.
And what would you say would be your most important thing that you could tell people right off the bat?
Well, the first thing is to remember who and what they are, and most people forget that because they've been so programmed, and what they are is really a spirit having a physical experience. This body is nothing more than a hologram of condensed light that's being manipulated from many levels, both from frequencies that are being generated out here, from the chemicals that are in the foods, and just pure thought can make a difference.
When you say programmed, I'm assuming that you mean through conditioning, through your childhood and those people and things and societies and organizations around you.
That's correct. Conditioning is from the very first, when you first come out of the womb, when you got snapped on the bottom to make you start crying, you immediately were conditioned at some response at some point. From that point on, even before that, during the womb, as the child was listening and hearing the actions that were going on outside of them, even though not physically seeing what was going on, from that point on, they start that personality that comes out, begins its journey into what we call the physical world. And then as you go through school, you're programmed to think a certain way presented to you by the textbooks that have been selected by people that have organized them to make you think a certain way.
Absolutely. You know, I think all the time, people need to pay attention to their teachers because you can't go to college and have a kindergarten teacher. You need to think carefully about who that teacher is and what they're saying.
That's correct. Always what I call, what I really tell people to do is discern all information and question everything. If somebody just says it, says a statement like your teacher says that, black is red or anything else, really research it. You don't have to challenge them in front of everybody, but yourself, you want to make sure that the information that's being given to you is correct information, because most of it's not.
You know, I always have a problem with fundamental religions in that regard. Everybody's warring over whose religion is right, and I always think to myself, if there really is all these different religions that each have a different God, wouldn't that God that's the most powerful stand up and say, "I am the one"? It only makes sense that there's only one, because he would make himself known if there were more than one.
Well, but
I am.
Yeah, but the programming is set up. For instance, Eva, in the so-called Ten Commandments, I tell people to, if they're biblically oriented, if they read Exodus 20, which, by the way, the rabbis all say the book of Exodus is a big hoax, but if they read Exodus 20, it's a so-called Ten Commandments. Now, Eva, I'll give you one for an example. There's one of them that says, thou shalt not kill. Do you think that's a correct commandment?
Well, personally, I think that it's the intent behind the motive to do what you have to do.
Let me give you the real one, and I want you to think about it. The real commandment in relation to that is, thou shalt not murder thy fellow man in thought or deed. Does that make any more sense to you?
Of course, because the intent places forth the action.
That's exactly correct. The other commandment that I think is funny is, thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy. The reason why I think it's funny, because we have religions that divide the so-called Sabbath. And then the question is, what day is the Sabbath? And the correct answer is, every day is. You give thanks to the Creator for what you're doing. Now, see, those two just small, subtle things will make a difference in people's perception, and yet they'll go to their local whatever church. And yet, typically, if you go to a small town, Eva, there may be 30 or 40 churches. The more churches they are, generally the poorer the people are, because it's a gathering place, and everybody supports each other, and they want to keep the myth going.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so we divide people by saying, okay, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Protestant, or I'm whatever you are. It doesn't make any difference. These are the games that people play in the name of religion, supposedly with somebody that's going to come save them, because most people don't take on that responsibility.
That's right. They're the ones in charge, and they just don't realize it.
Well, you know, even the Christ that people would call Jesus, he said, what I do, you can do, and even greater. That's kind of empowering to me. He also
Absolutely.
Said, what you sow, you shall reap. So that's responsibility also.
You know, that brings to mind a conversation that I had with my husband today. We were watching television about Katrina and the devastation that's down there, and I said something about, well, you know, the government probably had a hand in that, and he went, the government made a hurricane? Are you serious? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. People don't understand that everything that is about frequencies. And the government has what those HARP instruments, that HARP facility, and can change those frequencies and make things change in our weather pattern. We are responsible in denying it's not going to change anything. Stand up to the plate and take some action.
Well, the government can do a lot of things, but meanwhile, we've done such damage to the planet, we can expect many more changes, more hurricanes, higher winds, everything that's coming down, and because we've done over the last century. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, we're killing off 1,000 life forms a day right now, and how are we doing that? It's because of all of the, quote, radiation that we put up around the planet by exploding nuclear bombs in the higher atmosphere, which has eaten holes through the ozone, Eva.
That
allows the gamma and ultraviolet rays to come down on the surface of the planet. And it's also killing off the largest oxygen producers on the planet, which are basically the plants in the ocean. And they turn black or brown. And if you have something that's black or brown with sunlight on it, what does it do? Heats up, doesn't it?
And rots, yes.
And what are the oceans doing? Heating up. And so the massive thermal changes that are going to happen on this planet is gradually escalating, so we're escalation. And you're talking frequency. The frequency of the planet, because of these changes, and the position as it is within the universe, it's all coinciding about the year 2012.
I totally agree. When we say frequency, I think we mean the same thing for those that don't know. We're talking about frequency and hertz and energy, horizontal and vertical energy fields, right, George?
Yeah, what Eva, really, let's look at it from a physical standpoint. If you and I, if the beginning, let's take, I'll use a biblical reference as you did. In John 1, it says, in the beginning there was the Word. That wasn't a correct translation, by the way. In the beginning it was thought, because aren't words thought out loud?
That's right.
You
see
when you pray, aren't
you
putting
head
out?
And then things start changing, molecules start bumping into
exactly.
each other and forming that picture.
That's right. But if you put out a thought, let's just arbitrarily give it a numerical number because that's what you're talking about. If I put out a thought with certain power, like let's give it a plus one, well, physics will have to have an equal and opposite reaction or a minus one. If
that's
I double
right.
the power, I got a plus two. Reverse it a minus two, and you could go on, and that's basically the periodic table of physical elements.
That's right. That's another reason why I think it's so important that we go to a hydrogen-based fuel, because hydrogen is the basis of everything is. You know, one proton, one neutron, an electron, and everything builds off of that. So if we have a hydrogen-based fuel, putting back the basic building blocks, it can restore the ozone, start that food chain over again, restore the rainforest.
Well, Eva, believe it or not, I'm working with engineers that have that right now. And we have the ability to have cars that run on basically hydrogen that have all that. The trouble is the planet is so out of balance. Out of the chaos, we're going to create something new. And, you know, if you're listeners, there has to be a starting point. And what I do is I give away a free book. It's called The Handbook for the New Paradigm. It's basically an instruction manual. So each of your listeners can join in what I call the ground crew, the response to assist in the transition of this planet, knowing that we're going to have chaos around us, but we have to have somebody that's grounded to look at this play for what it really is.
Well, I have to say, George, you know, I told you that's how I met you originally, is that book appeared in my bedroom one night, and I have no idea where it came from.
Well, and your
listeners... it is a book of substance, I tell you people, to make your skin crawl.
Well, and I give it away free, Eva, because the reason is if we don't have a planet left to live on, it doesn't make any difference. And I recognize that most people either listening to this program or other ones are having financial difficulties, and I'm so concerned about the planet that I, yeah, again, you can go to my website, nohoax.com, N-O-H-O-A-X.com, and read the special message for you, or just call my 800 number, which is 729-4131, and I'll send it out. I even pay the postage.
Well, George, you've got a broad knowledge, from what I've heard from my friends that know you, about a lot more things than just this. Can you share some of those things with us?
Well, my background, I went to Colorado School of Mines. I majored in geophysics. I studied law and business. I was a registered financial principal with the NASD, the National Association of Security Dealers. I was an underwriter of securities. I was in the banking business, had my own bank. I actually started my own bank outside of the Federal Reserve. And then got involved with the Federal Reserve in a different way, and I was actually asked to be the finance chairman for the election of Jimmy Carter. So I was running around with the guys that are planning on taking over the world, so I know what they're going to do. I have, and I share that.
Would that be the New World Order?
Well, you can call them whatever you want to. It's a new world system. I mean, it's a program to look at most people can't take care of themselves, so these people have elevated themselves to, quote, be God. They either consider you an expendable container, or today, the better words are, you're a human resource, Eva.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's to keep everybody so everything's kind of asleep. It's kind of like, you know what they're doing with food right now. In order to transport it across states, they radiate it. In other words, they use radiation simply to kill the bugs. All it does is radiate them. And that's supposed to help our hygiene. But so you don't know that you're eating radiated foods. Their new terminology for that is cold pasteurization.
Is it really?
Yes. I sat in on the meetings because we were talking about, you know, all the people's herbs. They have to have those for their, you know, what they're eating. But the trouble is most herbs are imported, and it's required by the government that all herbs are radiated. The idea, again, we're going to protect you from some kind of
bugs. And we wonder why we have so much cancer.
Exactly what it does. And, of course, cancer, everybody has cancer. But your bodies normally get rid of that right away. But when if you're using radiated income into your system, then obviously it's going to affect certain portions as your body is not into, you know, into balance.
That's right. Now, you told me that something the other day about the Eastern government's pulling out a lot of money from our government.
Exactly. What is happening, we got the Saudis that Bush has been yelling at, and he's talking about building up, you know, they should change their regime. And he's talking about the same thing with Iran, and actually having our military, our Navy has a flotilla on the way over there. They were planning before this big fiasco down here in New Orleans, possibly to go after Iran. Well, anyway, between them and what's going on in Venezuela, because of the economic situation in this country, Saudi Arabia says, hey, we'll play your game. They're at full production, by the way, on their oil. They decided that our dollar is worthless, and it is becoming more worthless. There's nothing behind it besides debt. So they pull, and they announce, they're pulling out $375 billion, that's with a B, dollars out of deposits out of the banks.
And what do you think is going to happen when that happens?
Well, I think they're in the process. Well, immediately, of course, Greenspan's going to try to cover that. See, there's only two things that can happen. When a bank has a deposit, Eva, like you put in $1 billion, we'll say, in a bank, the bank can loan out 20 times that. In other words, $20 billion. But if you took out, well, we're talking about $360 billion, you're talking about trillions of dollars that
mm-hmm.
could be affected all the way across the country, a chain reaction of massive, what we call a recession, basically being planned right now.
And how does that help the government?
Well, it helps the government in this way. If we get everybody...
That's what it does.
Well, of course it does in the long run. It gets everybody all scared, and then you're going to go run down and register under the FEMA rules that they have, and they're adjusting those all the time. So they get everybody cordoned down, and they're going to put you into these camps. Now, you can look at the Astrodome or down at Houston. You look at those 2,000 people there on television right now, and you see all kinds of cots, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine what could happen if they put an iron? Now, if you don't have, the plan is, frankly, if you don't have the talent that they need, you'll be disposed of in some place.
And do you think that that has something to do with all those people down there in New Orleans?
Oh, all over the country. I mean, New Orleans has always had a high unemployment, but, you know, the largest welfare state, if it was a state, would be Washington, D.C. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
And if it's not safe to walk in the streets at night in Washington, D.C.?
Why is that, do you suppose?
Well, because the people don't have any jobs. And that's number one. The only people in Washington that have jobs are the ones that are, you know, government employees. And if you happen to be a senator or a congressman that goes to Washington, you have to use what I call down the food chain, the team that's already provided to you. So they're kind of set in their ways. They're not going to change anything.
So what could somebody do? If somebody could do one thing, what would you tell them to do?
Well, the first game is to first rule in the universe is to gain all knowledge. In other words, the knowledge of as many things as you possibly can. I mean, that's kind of the lifespan. Have you heard of the reincarnation? I mean, you can't learn it all in one lifetime, so you go through this wheel until you finally understand what is going on. This planet Earth is a real huge learning pool because, fortunately or unfortunately, whenever we look at it, we come into this life with what they call the veil of forgetfulness. We don't remember who we are. Some people do. But as a rule, most of us don't remember what we've done through previous lives. We keep giving indications of that. And the other dimensions always try to communicate with us. I mean, you have the people talk about angels and, you know, all of these guides and all that. They do exist. It's a question is how many games and how many levels of the game is going on at the same time simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. So what would be a step in physical reality? Go buy books, look at the Internet. Once they get knowledge, what could they do?
Well, that's you said the game is gain all knowledge, so you're going to be studying a lot, sharing the information, and another rule is discern everything, Eva. And discernment comes from within. You have to learn to ask the spirit within. There's a little book called Your Body Doesn't Lie. I don't know if you heard about it. It's Dr. Diamond's book. And it's based on a theory that your spirit knows everything and it's trying to get everything. And so by using body or muscle testing, and there's techniques in that little book, you can find out anything about anything. In fact, people use, you know, they douse, for instance, and they use pendulums. But there's a simpler method. It's basically applied kinesiology that the techniques are explained in that book by Dr. Diamond. Many doctors use it because it'll tell you what's wrong with you and how you started it. The problem is doctors can't get paid because it's free. Your body knows how to heal itself.
Well, then we go into the pharmaceuticals.
Of course, that's they go into anything. That's that anything to immediately cut up the hurt. And, you know, you got a headache, you got to take an aspirin immediately. Does that mean that you're aspirin deficient? What we're doing?
No, that means you put an aspirin in your body and it's going to cause your blood to thin and cause other bad problems.
Exactly. And not only that, it may, you know, shut down the symptom. But that symptom was there for a reason. And what was the reason? And that's what that little book's all about. And that's part of the techniques, frankly, of understanding who and what we really are in relationship to the universe. And then again, opens up a much bigger story to the extraterrestrials, the other planets that are inhabited by humanoids, and where we are on this, quote, ladder of evolution within the universe.
Now, extraterrestrials is something I personally don't know anything about. What can you tell us about that, and how do you know it? How do you find out what you know?
Well, and I was in the Air Force, and my career specialty was airborne communications, so I worked on all the aircraft equipment. When I got out, the Air Force put me through a year of school. I already had a year of school in electronics before that, but they put me through another year. And my first assignment was the Air Force Research and Development Center. That means all of the super secret things that we had at Edwards Air Force Base. And one morning I did the inspection on the forerunner of the space shuttle, the X-15. Now, it lands out in the desert. It lands on skids. It has two wheels in the front when it's down, but basically it lands out there in the sand. Anyway, I got out to did my inspection and finished it, and it was 10 o'clock in the morning. It was about 100 degrees. It was last week in August, actually, and it was hot out there, and they don't let you work when it gets over to be 100. Well, anyway, north of that where the plane landed, there was a couple hangars that I hadn't been into. Now, I had all the badges that showed that I was top secret cleared and all that good stuff. But, so I went inside one of the hangars, and I happened to look at this craft that was about 20 feet across, silver in color, and it was a disc. And it was, you know, it was unusual. I'd been working on some real strange-looking equipment anyway at that time, but here's a round craft. I was kind of curious about it. So when I came back to my squadron, I mentioned it to my commander, and I said, when can I work on that round craft? And he said, you saw that? And I said, yeah. And his story to me, he said, well, that's an ion-powered craft designed by Sikorsky for use in outer space. I could accept that. Made sense to me. So I said, well, when can I work on it? And he says, you can't. It's still a civilian project. Edwards is where the civilians create these vehicles and then turn it over to the Air Force for testing. Anyway, I went back to my room, and I was going to get with my buddy go swimming. I was talking with him. He happened to be the base photographer, another one of these, you know, coincidences in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I says, get me some pictures of that round craft. And he said, what did they tell you? And I told him, he said, that's not true. And he proceeded to show me pictures of the spacecraft along with the two dead aliens. That got my attention.
What'd they look like?
Well, similar to the ones in Roswell, you know, the one down there. I can tell you, the ones in Roswell had the distended stomachs. It's like, well, you know, after you look at the people in New Orleans right now, they start blowing up after a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they start so did the ones in Roswell. That's what you see. Well, the ones I saw at Edwards were all flat. In other words, they were similar, but not, in other words, humanoid-looking, but different.
Did they have clothes?
Yeah, they had clothes. Well, they had clothes on part of them, but the ones that I saw, they didn't have clothes on. So
they have body parts like we do?
Yep, same way, but just small.
Genital organs and stuff, too?
Well, I didn't see the organs, but it appeared, you know, their head was different. I don't know if I have it on my website, but I do have it on my video that I put out for people, and I do my lecture. Anyway, I was concerned, so I come back. I was kind of confused at that time, frankly, Eva. Look, I was, you know, young, naive, didn't know what was happening. I went back to my commander and asked him why he lied to me. And the first thing he did was remind me of my top secret clearance, which was jail time and a fine. And the next thing he said, look, when the government's ready to tell the truth about UFOs and ETs, they will. Until then, you stick to your story. So, you know, I like people in the military, you don't say anything about it. Well, in 1984, I built a house in Aspen, and the housekeeper had the book called UFO Contact from the Pleiades. Incredible color photographs of exactly the same thing I saw at Edwards. I then was wondering why this book hadn't been out to everybody. I mean, it was there. It was printed here in the United States. So I flew down, grabbed my plane. I flew down to Phoenix, and I talked to this couple down there in Phoenix, and they said they were investigating a man in Switzerland who claimed to be in contact with beings from the star system, the Pleiades, who said that they engineered planet Earth for 500 million people. Now, that's just some of the things. And that basically Earth is a prison colony. There's basically seven different, there's only one race on the planet, it's called human race, but there's seven different colors, if you want, or variations of that. And we come from seven different star systems. And I told him, look, I don't know anything about that stuff. All I know for sure is that those pictures are real. And I said, how can I help you kids? So they said what they needed was more money to publish the books. And I said, well, that's not a problem. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll loan you the money to publish the books. What the provision is, in 90 days when you get to selling your books, I want my money back first. I'm going to go. At the time, I was building real estate across the United States, you know, shopping centers and office buildings and motels and restaurants and that type of stuff. Anyway, I said, look, I'm going to go back to my building. You do your thing. And I felt I was doing something for mankind, you know, helping them mm-hmm. to get awakened to what was really going on. Anyway, after a couple of months, the guy in Phoenix sent me all the accounting, but no check. And I was a little mad about that. I called him up on the phone. I says, where's my money? And they said, well, we found out who you are. You don't need it. Now, Eva, I was a little that isn't the agreement I made. You know, if I'm going to give away mm-hmm. money, that's my choice. But
right.
We made an agreement to do this. So anyway, I flew down the next day and filed suit against them. But meanwhile, during this, you know, period of time that I had assisted them, they were sharing a lot of the knowledge with me. Well, I decided I'm going to find out for myself. So my wife and I grabbed a plane, and we flew off to Zurich, Switzerland. We rented a car. About 45 minutes outside of Zurich is a little town called Hinterschmidt-Rudi. And I knocked on the door to where this man's at. His name's Billy Meyer. Knocks on the door, and I said, I'd like to talk to this man because he's got so much information in here. If it's all verifiable, I just want to know, and if it's right, then I want to assist and get the information because it's very important for mankind. Anyway, the lady says, look, I'm sorry, all Americans are crooks. They come over here and they take our pictures and our material, and they promise to help us. They don't do anything. And I said, well, I can understand that. So what I did say, look, you go back and you tell Billy who I am. I said, I put money into a movie being made. I said, I put the money up for the books, and the book stops right here. So she left, came back about 10 minutes later, and she said, Mr. Green, I'm sorry. Shirley MacLaine was here about 2 months ago, and she promised to help us, and nothing has happened. And I said, well, c'est la vie. I'm going to make a vacation out of this. I'm going to head off to Austria or to Innsbruck. I said, where's the closest hotel? It was late in the afternoon. So she told me, I said, I'm going over and check in there, and then, you know, we'll see you. Next morning, knocking on my door, the girl's name was Bruni. Here's Bruni. She says, Mr. Green, we found out who you are. And she handed me a 2-page message, which was signed by Quetzal, who happened to be the Palladian commander who was in contact with Billy.
And how did the writing look?
Well, they were just like, you know, you and I could... It was actually typewritten. They had it.
Okay.
They had it done that way. But anyway, they handed me the message. It was about me, but personally, that nobody could know the information without, you know, sleeping with me, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we were invited over to Billy's compound, and for the next week, I became in contact with the extraterrestrials, and frankly, reprogrammed my whole thoughts about everything. I mean, I thought I was pretty smart about what's going on the planet. And I found out about everything that was taught. It's based on a lie.
And how did that contact take place?
Very, like you, physical. It was a physical deal. I have pictures and everything else of the
really?
Extraterrestrials, their spacecraft, the whole works. And in fact, when I came back to the United, I made an agreement at that point with the extraterrestrials to assist in putting out the information. And I said, the problem is, right now, is that Billy had given away the worldwide rights to a story to the people who were down in Phoenix, who I already filed suit against. And I said, well, that's not a problem. I had, at that time, I had a house in Beverly Hills, and one of my partners out there was one of the attorneys for the Screen Actors Guild. So I figured I'll give him the job, because if anybody can break a contract, he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I came back and I gave it. It was Dern, Mason, and Clown, just so you know. Anyway, I gave it back to Dern, and I told him, I said, I made a deal with extraterrestrials to publish material. And, of course, he looked at me, you know, incredulously. And I said, you know, my money's good. That's all he could care less. Anyway, he said, okay, I'll take care of it. Anyway, about 5 weeks later, he calls me on the phone. He says, come on over to my office. I said, okay. So I come over there, and he says, we got it all arranged. You have to have Billy fly him over here from Switzerland. We'll have a hearing in front of the judge, and we'll get rid of this, you know, this contract that they have. And I said, that sounds okay with me. So I called Billy from his office in Beverly Hills. And I said, Billy, I'll send a ticket over to you, and then you can be here in the United States. And he says, George, there's only one problem. I showed you pictures. I was taken forward in time. I saw the total destruction of the West Coast. Massive earthquake that's getting ready to occur. We don't have the timing on it, Diva, but it is coming up pretty quickly.
Oh, I totally agree.
Well, but I saw the pictures of it. So I'm sitting here, and I'm looking, and I said, look, I understand. He's, look, I have 3 children, and I'm safe here. And I said, well, I don't know what I can do, because I didn't want to. I'm always, look, as a real estate developer and stuff, you're always involved with attorneys and banks, and frankly, it's you know, in the courts. And I said, I don't want to get involved with anything more. We're going to have to find another way, because right now the dissemination of information was coming through Billy. And I told him, I said, well, we'll let the extraterrestrials do it and find another way to get me the information that they want to do. So when we left the office, it was in Beverly Hills. I was living at La Costa at that time, North County, San Diego. And I had a little 450 SL convertible. Anyway, in broad daylight, they had one of their beam ships follow us for over an hour. I mean, we were pointing it out to everybody else as we're going down the freeway, right? I mean, it's totally insanity. Nobody, of course, paid any attention to us pointing, but there's this thing. And that's to remind me what was going on was real. So anyway, after that, I mean, my life has totally changed since this whole picture, because I recognize what's happening with planet Earth, and planet Earth is going to go through such incredible chaos, Eva, because of what we have done to it. It's the old, the first law of the universe. I mean, I gave you the first one, which is the gain on knowledge, which that's the rule rather than law. But the first law is the law of attraction. Basically, what you put out, you're going to get back. Yep.
Can't do anything but transmit and receive at the same time. Can't do anything but.
That's it. Anyway, back to the game. We have to have a way to get somebody through this survival of what's going to be left on the planet. The planet was engineered for 500 million people in the maximum. Well, we've basically wiped out all the natural resources. So I don't, and you know, when I was asked to be the finance chairman for the election of Jimmy Carter, they laid out the Plan 2000. Actually, Jimmy Carter put it in writing. It's called the Plan 2000. A summary of it's on my website, which calls for war to get started in the Middle East in the year 2000, which is to spread to the United States, Eva.
Well, it started already.
Well, it started, but remember, the definitions to reduce the population, it says by all means necessary. I'm really concerned about biologicals. I mean, I sat in on meetings where we were discussing reducing the at that time, expendable containers, that was a word that we used,
mm-hmm.
By using neutron bombs on all their major cities. Major cities are not the place to be. That's a place to, you're going to destroy more people quickly in major cities. So my advice to your listeners is to get to a small town if you can. Most people are not able to do that, but they're going to have to start taking on the responsibility of doing that.
And what could the people do to start, second to getting knowledge, what could they do with this knowledge? What would you suggest they do?
Well, at this minute, just what I've been sharing with you, and you can look at the papers and look at the television if you want to, just remember it's a huge play, is to get yourself into some kind of safety. And what's that? Well, if the people down there are starving for food, what do you think you should have? I'd get yourself into some high ground, start looking, pull up the geological material on where you live, pick up the weather material from where you're at, look at the planet. It's all on the internet. I mean, it's the biggest problem with the publishing business right now. Everybody's looking at the internet for the data, but you can follow the two storms, for instance, that are off the coast right now, and you can see the volume of them if they're going to be affecting you. Meanwhile, if you get a hold of the Population Institute or the Worldwide Institute in Washington, D.C., and subscribe to their material, every month they'll sell you, send you a bulletin on what the Earth resources are doing, what the population is doing. I was at the Population Institute, for instance, just a couple months ago, Eva. We're increasing over deaths, 235,000 people a day on the planet.
Are you serious?
We have 630. We have about 6.3 billion people on the planet. Now, you got 1.3 billion in China, and you got a little over 1 billion in India. Those two represent pretty close to 40% of the world's population. We have half of the world's population existing on less than $2 a day. If I dropped it down to a dollar, about a third of the world is existing on less than a dollar a day. Meanwhile, we're using up every commodity so fast, including the oxygen on the planet.
Water.
We're clearing all the forest in South America. We're doing everything possible so we can eliminate humans on this planet. We're really looking at extinction as such. Anyway, the Population Institute and, you know, Worldwide Institute, and again, you can go on the internet and pull up their stuff, but they're keeping track of these. I'm sitting here I was here 2 years ago, and their estimation was that we were increasing the population by 300,000 a day. Now, in the old days when I was developing real estate, that was pretty good because I could look and say, oh, well, we're going to have 300,000 new houses to take care of, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that the Earth resources cannot take the population what we have. It was only engineered, according to the extraterrestrials, for less than 500 million. Even the moon was put up there as an artificial satellite in order to give us the second energy source. Did you know that?
No.
It's the only solar body that's always looking at us, right? And it's totally round. Every other body you look at is oblong or whatever else out there. Anyway, they told us we should be harnessing the energy it's supplying, and how's it doing it? It's creating all of the tides, the water going in and out.
Mm-hmm.
You could create all abundant power we needed to just off of that rather than going to oil. There is a lot of stuff that we have, but the greed, the evil on the planet, and evil is nothing more than people taking advantage of other people in some way or form. That's all you can look at. I mean, you know, you can have, I don't like the word, after learning all the information from the extraterrestrials, if you lose, there's four laws that are in the little handbook that I give away. You know that, the handbook for the new paradigm that they call my 800 number, 729-4131, and I'll send it out to them. Anyway, it gives you the rule book. But you start looking at everything that you do affect the, something else somewhere else. It's the old chaos theory. I mean, a little butterfly over in India is going to affect us over here.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, people think when there's not enough food that we'll just change them genetically. But I don't believe they realize that changing them genetically changes the structure, which makes it not good for us.
Well, genetically, we were engineered. We're engineered genetically. I talked to the doctors that are working with Castor right now on genetic engineering, if you want to look at it from that point, because we are genetically engineered to live a certain life. If you look at your mother and your father, if they lived a normal life without getting hit, you can almost pinpoint what the genes or the DNA was programmed to be at. In other words, how long you're going to live. Well, we originally lived to be 1,000 years old, but we were created as warriors for them. Even personality is part of the DNA programming. So it's an enormous thing that we start looking at DNA. The doctors, by the way, over there were looking at, if we took the children of, let's say you had children, if we took their DNA, spun off the male, in your case, DNA connection, because it was a combination of your mother and father, of one of your children, and re-injected back to you, we could change your DNA so we could stop your aging process to that of theirs. In other words, possibly give another 20 years or so. If that's right, it would be great, except for there's a problem with that. We have too many people on the planet right now.
Right.
I mean, Kissinger said it. He said, look, the bomb is the population. We're just, you know, again, 300,000 or 235,000 people a day is nothing, but count that times 10 days. That's 2,350,000. Now, you're in Atlanta. How many people's in Atlanta? 2 million?
About 4 million, I think.
Well, figure this. Every 15 days, you've got another city to create on this planet the size of Atlanta, requiring what? Roads, water, everything we're talking about, right? Can you imagine the enormity on the planet?
Yeah, and our water, you know, we're the same percentage water as the Earth is. I don't know where they think that extra water is going to come from.
Well, it isn't. It's all polluted.
That's right.
And they also recognize that. The most valuable mineral on the planet right now is water.
Not oil.
Nope.
Water.
Water. And that's the reason why Canada has tremendous amounts of water. But believe it or not, in Las Vegas, when you see all those pretty buildings and all the fountains, all that water is trucked down from Canada.
Really?
Las Vegas has no water. And that they keep building all these new ones, it's bound to collapse, this whole thing. Las Vegas even creates its own electrical systems off of coal. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
And they're 10 miles away from the Hoover Dam.
Well, what could the people do to affect the decision-making process of the government?
They're not going to do anything. This is all set. It's already been set up in advance. I mean, we're talking about 20 years ago. They planned what was going on, and all we have is the... Well, take a look at Bush. All of the people over there are running this plan. We're appointed by him. They're not elected. And the elected ones, we have the best government money can buy, Eva. They're going to protect their own, you know, whatever their job is. And they're going to, it's all controlled. You're talking about the pharmaceutical companies, the insurance companies. They manipulate everything up within Congress, all because everybody's got to have a status quo.
It amazes me that they don't realize they're doing it to themselves and their children.
Well, they do and they don't. But again, they know what they're doing within their own little structure, and they may not only have... They may just have a small piece of the puzzle themselves, either. I mean, I've sat in on meetings with a dozen people who were talking about population reduction, and then half of us would adjourn. We'd go to another room, and we talk about getting rid of some of the people that are in the meeting.
Are you serious?
On the other side. Oh, yeah.
What
like
do they say?
Well, it's like being in a den of rattlesnakes, black widows, and scorpions, each one of them capable of killing each other. And, you know, they may or may not do it. And it's not a question. We're just sitting there, okay, we're going to get rid of these people. We're not going to allow them to go. Are they useful for this moment? You know, at this moment, you may be totally useful, and we love you, we're going to take care of you. And it's just like when I was, you know, running around with them, I had anything I wanted to at my disposal. They will protect everything. They don't care as long as you do what they need to get done. Now, if the situation changes, what do you become? You become one of their people to what? An expendable container yourself.
Well, that raises another thought that's been curious on my mind lately, which is what people call Big Brother. How do they know what's going on in our houses?
Well, they have from the satellites. They can either do it from vibrations that are on your house. I mean, obviously, you can protect your house. You can, you know, encase it with, you know, copper coils and all kinds of things if you wanted to do that. It's hard for them to get underground to me, but basically they can follow you around. Even with your watch that you're wearing is all electronic right now. That's putting out a little signal.
Because I had something weird happen to me. You know, I had this near-death experience thing, and when I woke up, I became a channel, and I started channeling about the stuff that's in your book. And not too long, I got a radio show, and I was talking about hydrogen fuel and stuff like that. And not too long after that, two black helicopters came and hovered over my house one night, and it scared me. What was that?
Well, you may have heard something, and they, I don't know about the black helicopter. Well, I do know that they exist, and they're monitoring a lot of people to see how far along with you. You're probably not, Eva, from a scientific standpoint, you're probably not that much of a point, other than you may have awakened, so you're in constant communion with spirit. Now the question is, if so, then they're going to monitor you a little bit more than the average bear, maybe, if you have something that will cause something in action. Now, when it comes to hydrogen fuel, I happen to be working with people right now that run water in their cars, and we have all the stuff. Actually has a patent on it.
Why would they be interested in me, though? Why would two black helicopters hover over my house? I'm
well,
nobody.
How do you know it wasn't the house next door?
It was right over my roof in my backyard.
Well, I can't tell you because, again, that's not for me to.
And what kind of capabilities do those helicopters have?
Well, there was a movie it was out some time ago. It was Gene Hackman did it. Do you remember that movie? They were showing all the, I forgot the name of it right now. It's actually mentioned in one of the book, the Embracing Rainbow or Becoming. But anyway, if you go see the movie, you can see all the capabilities they have. Now, for what purpose? Hey, there's so many programs going on simultaneously. I'm not privileged to all of them. All I have is the overview that was done when I was sitting there when we were discussing. I sat in the office of one of our governors. As he's telling me he got his ticket, and I was upset because I didn't get my ticket. I didn't have any black helicopters come over, but they were, and I said, ticket to what? And he said, well, in Pine Gap, Australia, they build a huge underground facilities for 35,000 of the so-called elite in this world to lead what?
Really?
To lead whatever's left of this planet. Did you know that?
No.
You obviously you don't have a ticket, Eva. There's something wrong with this, right?
Oh, darn.
Well, no, they did that a few years ago. They were paying the worker bees that did it were coming from India. They paid them $30,000, and they worked for 6 months straight on. I mean, India's, you know, had all kinds of labors there. So anyway, that they brought them all down. It's in Australia, in Pine Gap. But it's ready to go. They're functioning, and they monitor everything that's going on. And not whether or not you're incidental to the thing, don't get too paranoid about it, and don't worry about it. Unless you had some public position that it's going to unravel things. I mean, look what they're doing right now to the so-called the president of Venezuela. You know, they're setting up into motion to go down to change his regime because he's taken the profits and given it to all the people in Venezuela. He was elected freely twice. I mean, here's a guy, the whole country's going for it.
So
but he's taking the oil
democracy.
Profit. Well, so but we got to get rid of him, and of course the CIA. Our government has CIA operatives that assassinate people. I know a couple of them. Anyway, the idea is they were going to go down and do it. He got wind of it now, but Ecuador's they're not dumb. So he asked for protection. Guess who he asked for protection from?
Bush.
China.
Oh, China. Oh,
China
that's
is the largest creditor nation in the world right now. They have more money than anything. They're buying all the world resources.
Personally, I don't know anything about world politics, but I do know I was channeling one day back during the when we first bombed Iraq, And because I'm so ignorant, I would have thought that that was who was going to attack us, if somebody was going to attack us, just because I'm stupid, you know.
Yeah.
But it came through that China was going to be that person.
Well, China, I have I just received documents on the Chinese had a meeting a couple months ago, and I have the 40 pages. And rest assured, they have 100 million army. And they could come over to the United States, and they have all the capabilities, the nuclear, et cetera. And they're looking at the vulnerability. None of them, frankly, none of them want to use nuclear at this minute because we've already messed up the atmosphere so bad. I mean, you know, at the end of World War II, we started doing all this above-ground nuclear testing, you know, exploding bombs everywhere, even in the higher atmosphere, which is eating up holes in the ozone. That's the reason why they're so scared of all of this stuff. It's not only that, we don't have an atmosphere. It's so thin, the oxygen content on the planet is cut in half in the last 20 years. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that. And I think, too, all of this nuclear waste that we're putting in the ground through bombs probably causes shift plates, which causes the earthquakes and tsunamis. And
radiation is a different technique. Radiation works on a process of long-term providing, you know, to break down. That's how it creates soils, as a matter of fact. But the radiation that is active, the U-235, the cesium-137 that was in the nuclear submarines and all the waste that they dumped in the ocean, the radiation transfers by a process called mimetics, Eva. It basically absorbed in the food chain. So if we put the stuff into the ocean, the plants absorb it, the fish eat it. So right now, the fish on the East Coast, for instance, are about 100,000 times higher in radiation than they are on the West Coast. So this radiation, obviously, if you're going to eat it, what happens, it's absorbed into your system, too.
Mm-hmm.
But radiation is one of the other areas the extraterrestrials watch very carefully, because the nuclear explosion is the only thing that will disrupt the soul energy. You're talking back to the hydrogen, right? So we break the soul energy down. Now, that's a no-no within the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So we got, we're being monitored. Again, the extraterrestrials are not going to do anything. They said, this is our game. We've been down before. We've met with your presidents. They come down. You guys think we're gods. In fact, in the book of Genesis, remember, it talks about the gods coming down. And that's exactly what we look at. You say, we'll come down and save us or take us to another planet. Well, we trash another planet in half the time, Eva.
Well, just out of curiosity, are they in another dimension? Or are they in our solar system? Where are they? How far away?
Well, we have within our solar system probably. Well, I'm aware of. They're sharing with me right now in the last couple of months. Now there's 50 stars that we can see with our telescopes that have planets that are in that are inhabited with humanoids. And so, and by the way, this information was shared with the observatories down in Tucson right now, and they're plotting them all out right now for us.
Really?
Yeah, so this is happening. But according to the ETs, they're telling me it's not only this universe, but there's other universes, and it keeps going on infinitum. Mm-hmm. So what we have is we're just on part of the totem pole. We're all part of the whole, as you said. We're all one. Well, we're all one aspect of the one. Each one of us is a different aspect connected to the whole. Now, the question is, how do we awaken that connection? And that's, we come back to the handbook again. Because we need to be awakened to who and what we are in relationship to the universe, and also to be part of the solution rather than saying, I got to have more money, I got to do all this. What do we, everything has to be for the highest and best good for mankind.
That's right. When you take care of your own, I mean, my husband's constantly saying, don't worry about that garbage you're doing, Eva. Take care of your kids.
Well,
that is taking care of your kids.
Well, but your responsibility is to you brought children into your life. Your responsibility is to raise those children with the knowledge and give them that choice until they reach maturity and release. Now, it's real hard for women to do that.
They never want to release
them, period.
Yeah, that's right. We got about 5 minutes, George. What if you have 5 minutes to say the most important thing you have to say, what would that be?
Actually, what I want people to do is again, to observe that this is a huge play that's going on, and there's basically 300 families that control the entire planet right now. I mean, David Rockefeller himself owns 4.5% of 90% of the world's corporations. that corporations are individuals that are created by law. They become, but you can't strangle them or do anything else. You can just vacate them, right?
Mm-hmm.
These corporations, and when he's talking about this, one of the corporations that manipulate us is a system called the Federal Reserve. It's a private corporation controlled by Hanksley out of London, but David happens to be the largest stockholder here in the United States. So we're playing this huge monopoly game, but somebody else owns the game, Eva.
Do you have a comment on Mondex before we close?
No, I don't. I don't have any comments on any specific areas other than I want people to, you know, call my 800 number. That's 729-4131. The recording will just ask for your name and address, and we'll get the book out to you free. And the other thing, either go to my website and read the special message for you. That's the first 30 pages of the book. If you can understand that, and not everybody can read this because they've been programmed for that. I mean, not everybody's going to make it through this, Eva.
That's right. I guess in closing, just to say, listen to the teacher because the teacher says do it, just like you tell your kids to do when they go to school.
Well, a little
It'll
prayer.
Resonate if it's real.
There's a little prayer. I am a human becoming. Help me become. That allows them to help communicate with you, whether it's physical or non-physical. That's not my journey.
Well, George, thank you so much for your time and coming on the show. I really do appreciate it. Ape, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to a Blog In Broadcasting service, a service to others' endeavor. Thank you very much, and good night.